This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Hey guys. Seriously, every time I come to chapel, I'm so impressed with our chapel worship team. We have some incredible talent in this place at CIU. Don't you guys agree? In fact, I went to the talent show. Who was at the talent show? A couple of you were at the talent show. I'm sorry, I don't know your name yet. Who's the blonde that sometimes sings? She's got long blonde hair. Are you in here? Who are you? What's her name?
Hannah.
What?
Hannah?
Hannah.
Her
Abigail. Her name is Abigail. Thank you. Abigail, I don't know where you are. Y'all can tell her I said this, but her and her sister sang at the thing, and they got like unfair amounts of both beauty and talent. I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but I was like, that's just, and actually the people it wasn't just me, they said the same thing. I was like, that just doesn't really seem fair, you know? So, but there is a lot of talent in this school. I really enjoyed whatever Palooza thing. I'm curious, who came up with the Augusta Rocca student union a long time ago? I understand, because if I confuse you, let me just say I've been a middle school youth pastor for 16 years. So if I do confuse you, that might explain why. I still do that part-time. And so I do retreats, and we call them like Hullanobaloo and Waddle No Mo. So I get it. We've heard from some great CIU legends this week. It's been really cool to sit in here and hear from some of the professors that I know you guys love, and heard some really great words. And I totally feel unqualified to be standing up here. But praise the Lord that God equips the called, right? He doesn't necessarily call the equipped. So I'll just tell you a tiny bit about me so you know who I am, in case you're wondering, because I'm kind of new around here. But my name's Amy. I am part of the BOL faculty here, and I am here as a certified financial nerd, and I love finance. And that being said, I am not a personal financial planner. So I'm going to talk to you about finances and your future and planning and things like that. And I'm happy to talk to you about your personal financial plan. But just know that my toe is just in the pool. I know the principles, but I haven't given my life to the study of mutual funds and bonds and specifically what's happening in the market. So I'm happy to point you in the right directions. But if you're asking specifics, you probably need to talk to an expert. And speaking of experts, not necessarily in finance, but we have Dr. Ben Dean. If you don't know Dr. Ben Dean, he is the head of the business program. Can you stand up, Dr. Dean? He is the BOL MVP, and literally one of the coolest people I've ever met. Dr. Dean, the students always joke that the longer you're in his class, the more like he'll be like, well, you know, when I worked in the Pentagon, da da da, and you're like, whoa, you worked in the Pentagon? Like, it's crazy. He's done so much stuff. In fact, my mom told me the other day, my mom said to my son, I don't know, he asked a question, he's 5, and he asked really hard questions, like Dr. Gentry would probably love them because they're super philosophical, and I'm like, I don't know. And he asked my mom a question, and my mom said, you know, only God knows everything. And my son literally said this, he said, well, mommy says that Dr. Dean knows everything too. And I do. I say it in your presence, but behind your back too. So don't worry. But I also just want to say thanks to the tech team, because working at church, I know how hard tech teams work, and they're here countless hours before we're ever even out of bed. When I was talking to them this week about getting them my presentation, they were like, you could bring it by at 6. And I was like, and they were like, no, really. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be here at 6 in the morning. You know, I was like, sorry, I will be asleep, you know. So yeah, thank you to you guys that do that and work tirelessly doing that too. So the most important thing about me is my family. I know, right? Come on. That's my husband, David. He's the best husband in the whole world. I tell him all the time he should teach husband lessons or a class on being a husband. I don't really know what that would look like, but he could do it, and he would be great at it. He's really a phenomenal husband and a great father. He comes home every day after working hard, and it's so funny. Like, he goes right into, like, play mode with our two boys. He does, like, Big Mean Froggy, where he, like, gets down. He's like, the boys are like, Daddy, be Big Mean Froggy. And he, like, David's like, shut up. And he also has a purple heart because he got shot in the, I don't know if I can say that word up here. He got shot in the rear. So he has a purple heart because Thank you for your service, too, and all the other servicemen in here. So he got some shrapnel. Sometimes before people know where he got shot, they're like, can I see your scar? Like, no, you can't. And just in case you had a bad day today, just again for your viewing enjoyment. I mean, come on, seriously. This is my sons. They're Gavin and Elijah. They go by Fireman Sam and Elvis adamantly. So if you meet them, you will meet them as Elvis is the blonde and Fireman Sam is the brunette. And hopefully our family will be growing soon through adoption. We're doing foster to adopt, so if I ever get an opportunity to be up here again, well, who knows at this point, right? But if I do, then maybe you'll get to see a bigger family photo. But I am terrified, so if I'm nervous, if I look nervous, that's because I am in fact nervous. So just so you guys know, and so thank you for you all of you who organized it and had a confidence enough in me to put me up here where I probably don't belong. But I really appreciate it. So we've been given the challenge today to talk to you about debt. So of all the exciting and fun topics we've had this week, like depression and loneliness and all of these, we're just going to keep that ball rolling with debt here today. So, and I'm talking to a room full of people who are like just literally like raking in the debt, right? So you guys are in heavy debt mode right now. I understand that. But when I was trying to think about where to start in talking about debt, I thought, well, let's start just by looking at like what scripture has to say about money, okay? So I just did like your basic, fundamental, like Bible 101 search of what the Bible says about money. And here's some of the verses, okay? So these are fun. Keep your life free from the love of money. So, you know, there's that. And then you cannot serve God in money. Okay, yeah, don't serve God. I get that, you know? So this one's fun. I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Cool, okay. Then the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay. Oh, and then there's this guy. We got this poor and this rich guy and this rich guy. It says the poor guy, he says he is carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Oh, isn't that great? And then there's the rich guy. The rich man died and was buried in Hades, being in torment. Okay. All right. This is my favorite. You might know this from the parable of the talents. This is what that guy who, he was given some resources to take care of, and he hands it back to his master. He's done nothing with it. He hands it back, and his master says, you wicked and lazy servant, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Literally, as I read these, this was my exact thought. That escalated quickly. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm scared, you know, and I have to talk about money, and you have a lot of really, really strong thoughts on money, clearly, you know, it's some strong wording. And so after reading this, I was like, well, maybe the message should be we should just take up an offering and like, have you empty your bank accounts. We'll just do a good old CIU bonfire, have some s'mores, move out of the dorm, stop the classroom thing, just live in the woods and just do it that way, right? Some of you. But let's not miss the point, okay? So while God does have a lot of really strong warnings about money and about our use of money as a resource, there's also a lot of instruction in scripture about this too. And so I want to look at what does God say about using the resource of money? So if we look again at the parable of the talents, and you guys know this, you're in Bible college. I assume most of you are pretty familiar with this, and we can get into theological debate about what talents means, but for today, I'm talking about it in terms of wealth. And so we see these two contrasting points, and I put them out of order just because I've already talked about the first one where he says, the man says, I was afraid and I hid your gold in the ground. Here's what belongs to you. And that's when we have that really, really harsh reprimand from the master. But then we have these other two who took the resources and they put them to work and they were able to multiply them. And when they came back and talked to the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you guys, but if that's a two-sided coin, like that's the side I want to be on, right? So that's where I want to be. And that's kind of my goal for today, is to talk to you about about money and what it means in your life and what resources, like how you can handle this. Because money, like any other tool or any other thing, is a tool for the kingdom, right? It can be used as a really effective tool for the kingdom. And that's the point. And I don't want you guys to miss that. So when we talk about money and we talk about using your money wisely and investing it, it is because the reality is this side of heaven, money can do a lot of good. And so some of you are going to go into careers where you're going to depend on people who have used their money wisely. Right? A lot of you are here because of people who have used their money wisely and have been able to give to CIU and the purposes of CIU. And these buildings exist because of people like that. So that's the goal here. It's not so that we can have more stuff or have bigger houses or anything like that, but it's recognizing that that money is a tool and it can be used as a tool for kingdom building. And so that's where the heart of this is. So if we go back to the verse, the love of money, the one that's always quoted, you know, what people do often is they say money is the root of all evil. But the careful distinction here is that it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. So we want to be careful that we don't fall in love with money. So as we talk about financial principles, and it's, y'all, it's hard not to fall in love with money, okay? So has anybody ever, like, you know, I don't know, you, like, your parents gave you some money and, like, I mean, you just feel like rolling around in it or like throwing it. Is that just me? Am I the only one that does? Okay, well, I've never done that either. So how can we be wise with money? Well, debt. Stay out of debt. How does that make you feel? Okay, stay out of debt. So Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. How many of you have felt the weightiness of the truth of that scripture? Are you feeling it now? Some of you with school loans will. If you're not, you will. But the thing is that God warns us about debt. And I want to be careful here because I do see your education, and I know a lot of you are getting debt because of your education. And I think the debt that you're acquiring because of your education is an investment in your own personal capital. You're investing in your future. You're investing in the tools. That being said, I do want to encourage you to minimize your debt. I don't know. Does this still happen? When I was in college, I would get financial aid that was more, and they would call me to the financial aid office, and I would get a check. Does that still happen? I see some yeses. Don't cash those checks. It's a trick. You will be paying off that extra money for the next years and years and years of your life, you know? So minimize your debt and make it a priority to pay it off as quickly as you can when you get out of college. See, God knows. He knows how quickly we can become a slave to debt. And the truth is that it really is a type of bondage. It can prevent you from doing the things that God wants you to do or God calls you to do. And so the point of today is I want you to understand wealth, understand how to correctly handle wealth so that you can be free to do the things that God's called you to, that God calls you to do. Does that make sense? All right, so let's say, how many seniors are in here? Okay, a few, yeah. Congratulations, hopefully. Let's say you decide to go on a trip after graduation. And so you decide, you're you just feel like you've earned it. I've spent 4 years studying and it's been a hard but fun journey, but it's been hard. And so I just need to relax. So before I get into my career, I'm just gonna give myself a trip. But you don't have $5,000 because you have been a college student for 4 years. So you don't have $5,000. So you're like, I'm just going to get a credit card, put it on the credit card, and, you know, I'll just kind of chip away at it afterwards. It'll be worth it. It's not that big of a deal. The average credit card, well, I say average. This is actually a low average. It's around 24%. I've gotten offers in the mail recently. I love to screenshot them, and I put them on Facebook for like 39% interest or 42% interest. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so there's... I use 24 kind of as really a conservative money. So if you went on this little trip, so you put $5,000 on a credit card with 24% interest, and you decided you were just going to chip away at it and pay off $100 a month after you got out, like you're like, oh, I'm not in any hurry, you know, it was just kind of a splurge, whatever. So you were just going to chip away at it and pay it off at $100 a month. Does anybody have any idea how long it would take you to pay it off? It would take you, yeah, you're actually really, really close. Wait, did you have a calculator? Because it's not fair if you're in my finance class. It would take you over 19 years 19 years. And you would end up paying a total of $24,000, just around $23,000 for your trip, for your $5,000 trip. That is crazy. And that is the trap of debt. And that's what not understanding some basic financial principles, that's where it will land you. Okay? So it's crazy. It is crazy. So you would end up paying $23,000 for a $5,000 trip. I have a couple more examples for you in a few minutes that I'll show you. But debt is really, like I said, it's a form of bondage. One of the things Dr. Dean said when we were talking through this is like poverty, debt leaves us with a lack of choices. You know, people in poverty, they don't live in slums because they want to live in slums. They live there because they have a lack of choices. So my goal today is to equip you with tools so that you'll be free to do the things that God calls you to do. And understanding how to correctly handle wealth will give you that opportunity. So what can we do? Like, what does the Bible tell us about how we can avoid debt? How can we avoid debt? A couple of principles. And you know, there's tons of resources out there that you can read up on. And that's the thing I think that I would encourage you to do is that I want to encourage you to really pay attention to this because right now my finance students, I've had more finance students tell me they hate me this week than I would really care to share because they're doing this pretty big project. But they say it with a smile, so I'm not really sure what that means. But they're like, I hate you. I'm like, I'm sorry. But they have a pretty hard project right now because I'm making them come up with a financial plan, which I'll talk about in a little bit, in addition to understanding the impact of when they buy a house one day and all of these other things, you know. So, but the reality is that a lot of us kind of just go with the flow. You know what I mean? Like, we'll buy a house one day or a car and we get a percentage rate. And as long as we can make that payment, we don't think much more about it. You know, we don't think beyond like, well, I can afford, you know, a $300 payment or whatever it is, or we don't think beyond that. But the challenge today is to think bigger than that, to kind of understand your finances a little bit. But that begins with understanding that God is our provider, right? And so before we do anything else, we have to really understand this and we have to hold on tight to this truth. And there's a ton of verses that we can use. The one that I chose is God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Like, God is our provider. We don't put our trust in the economy or in our bank account or on our employer, any of those things. God is our provider. And so we have to start there, right? That foundation has to be pretty solid before we can go anywhere. The next one is tithing. I realize in a room this big, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm a student of the Bible. I love the Bible, but I'm not a Bible scholar. And I know in a room this big, probably this means different things to different people, but we can agree that we need to tithe. And I'll tell you, personally speaking, two things that you need to know. One is that I think there's a misconception. Okay, can y'all be honest? Tell me if you've ever, maybe because y'all are in Bible college, you don't think this, but I thought this. I literally remember thinking this in college. I was a Christian. I went to a Christian college, but in name only, not in practice. And I had like, I waited tables at the Macaroni Grill. I loved it, for the record. Would still do it if I had time. And I made pretty good money because I worked like 40 hours a week. And but I didn't tithe. And I remember thinking like, well, I'll tithe whenever I have like more money or like steady money. Has anybody else ever thought that? Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Okay, so, but the truth is it does not get easier. Those of us who are farther down the road, can you be honest? Like, it's not, you know, unless you start making a habit now, you start to hold tighter to your money the more money you get. And that's exactly why God has all these warnings. You know, that's why he's so careful and he's so persistent about being careful about the love of money and all of that stuff. And so there's this thing in us, you know, where it's like the more money we get or the more regular, it's almost like we want to hold on tighter to it. So begin to practice now tithing. Begin to practice now tithing. I think it's one of the most effective tools you can have in the war against the love of money. So if you don't want to fall in love with money, then remember that God is our provider and remember to practice to make tithing just a normal part of what you do. Make it a habit. It is a must. All right, step three. Plan. So y'all know the saying, like when you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? There is a lot of truth in that. You need a strategy for financial success. So while you might be starting out in debt, if you're in college right now, some of you might be starting out in debt. You don't have to live that way. We live in a world that says debt is normal. We live in a world that, you know, credit is normal and everybody spends more than they have. And it's just kind of the way things go. And it's the way things are promoted. And you're constantly getting credit card offers in the mail and all at once. You might not be yet, but you will be getting credit card offers in the mail and all of these things. But that doesn't have to be your reality. It doesn't have to be the way that you live forever. The Bible supports financial planning. In Luke 14:28, it says, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" All of these, there's multiple verses you can go to. The truth is that we have a responsibility to plan. We have a responsibility to think through. Again, it does not mean that we're not trusting the Lord as our provider, but at the same time, I think we have a responsibility to use these resources wisely and to look ahead and to know that bumps are a part of life, right? Things happen. When you have a house one day, we got our house and like a few weeks later the oven broke, you know? I mean, it's not something we were expecting. And so, oh, and then the house came with a hot tub, which we don't want, because the first month we ran the hot tub, our electric bill in our new house was $650. You know how many times we've run the hot tub since then? Zero. Okay, so we've been in there 3 years and we don't want it because it was unexpected, you know? It was unexpected. And so, you know, can God just give us an extra $600 that month to help cover that? Because I had called and I knew what to expect in terms of how much we would pay. Yeah, I mean, God can show up and do that. But also I can plan and I can know that things are going to happen, that's a part of life. So we need to plan. The next one is to save. There is a verse that says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." And that's Proverbs 13:11. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." We also need to be saving. And again, start now. I told my students in my finance class, if I could make the class pass fail based on whether they started saving, I would. Like if that was just the whole class, you plan. You make a plan and you start doing it. That's what I would make the class on, because I told them, like, in 20, 30 years, I'm looking forward to, like, my gold-plated thank you cards that I'm going to get from them because of the planning that they did now. Which leads into the next one, invest wisely. We have to invest wisely. We don't just invest, but we invest wisely. and the Bible supports investing too. We saw that in the parable of talents that we talked about earlier. Also in 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. There is a way to invest responsibly, and that's where you guys have some. I don't have time to get into all of it, but there are some ways that you can invest your money really responsibly, and that it's going to help you in this goal of financial planning. And the last one, obviously, is giving, and giving is really the joy of good financial planning. That's the point. You know, I have a student in my class that I know he wants to run an orphanage in the Philippines. And I thought, how cool would it be if you started planting seeds now, financial seeds now, so that when you get to the point that you're running that orphanage, it's paid for out of the interest that spins off on the money you stored away, you know? You could support your own, the own orphanage, and then everything else you can just use for that community or whatever else. You know, that's the idea. We don't want it so that we can have like more cars and all this stuff. You know, maybe that's why the world wants it, but I want it so that I can participate in the joy of giving. It breaks my heart sometimes when I think about the money David and I have lost and how we could have used it for kingdom purposes and to build up to serve our church and been able to support. I mean, we're able to support kids every now and then going on mission trips and stuff like that. But, you know, we could have done a lot more if we had started these things sitting where you guys are sitting. So the critical point here is it's not about storing up treasures on earth. It's not about that. But at the same time, we have to pay careful attention to the warnings of the Lord while not ignoring the instructions of the Lord when it comes to our finances. So as a CIU finance person, I have two examples for you guys that I wanted to show you just so you can kind of see how significant, I guess, this is. So maybe this is literally from my finance midterm, which is due today. Sorry, guys. Well, this, I'm about to give you two answers, so. classes this afternoon. Anyway, so after graduation, let's say you buy a house that's $189,000, okay? So you buy a $189,000 house, and it's at 4.75% interest, which is, you know, I mean, you can probably do a little bit better than that, but we're just saying 4.75% interest. Your monthly payment would be $991.12, okay? $991.12. So they're getting out their finance homework. That's hilarious. Okay. you would end up paying a total of $356,000 for your $189,000 home. That makes me feel sad. $356,000 for a home worth $190,000. And yes, your home might increase in value, but if you're like David and I, who bought it right at the beginning of the bubble, you'll lose like $50,000 in value, so then it might be worth $139,000. The point is that, do you see how big of a deal this is? That's huge. So let's say instead of that, because you heard someone once talk about debt and you were like, oh, I'm going to change my financial future. So instead of that, you paid an extra like $400 a month. You paid closer to, what do I have, $1,429 a month. If you paid $1,429 a month, I know that sounds like a lot now, but when you start having a regular paycheck, maybe you can do it. $1,429 a month. You would end up paying off your house in 15 years, half the time. Over that 15 years, you would save yourself $100,000 if for the next 15 years, so a total of 45 years, for the next 15 years, you invested that $1,400 into an investment account earning on average 9%, which is very realistic. If you invested that into an investment account, you would have $5.5 million in 45 years. What? $5.5 million. This is huge, you guys. Do you understand how much good you could do with $5.5 million? There's a lot of people now that live on the 10%. I was talking to someone yesterday. They live on the 10% and give 90% away. What an awesome goal that is. And again, it's not $5.5 million so that you can just have $5.5 million. But man, think of what you can do, all the kids that you can feed and all the water, clean water you can provide. And I mean, there's so many things you can do with $5.5 million. Isn't that crazy? This is why this stuff matters. This is a big deal. In my class, we had to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They have to come up with a plan for $1 million. Okay, so and I told them I wanted to be realistic. I was like, if you can save like $5 a week now, make it $5 a week. That's fine. But then bump it up once you get a job or whatever. So here's the thing: if you want to be a millionaire, and again, please hear my heart here. It is not because I want us to just store up treasures on earth. It's not about riches. It's not about stuff, but it is about understanding money as a resource. And if you get a 7% average turn, which is really moderate, I mean, that's pretty average. It's $379 a month would get you there in 40 years. If you had 10% average return, which is again realistic, $157 a month. 12% average return, which would be a little high, but it's possible, $84 a month. That's it. Some of y'all go to Starbucks more than that. I mean, really. $84 a month, and you could change your life. You could change the life of your family, change the life of your kids, and change the life of a lot of people around the world because of your generous giving. Even if you wanted to do it in 30 years, you could just, at 12%, $283 a month. That's why this stuff matters. It is a big deal, you guys. So I would love to talk to you more about it. I would love to see you in my finance class. So if you want to take finance and learn about it, you can do it there. But for now, we're actually going to be in Rickard. Me and Dr. Dean will be over there if you want to come over. Again, not personal financial planners, neither one of us, but we're happy to talk to you about some things if you have any questions, and we would love to see you there. So let me pray, and then you guys will be dismissed. So Father, we thank you for who you are, God. I just pray as we do think about things like wealth, God, that you would help us to always see it as a resource, that we would know that you can, that you give and you can take away, God, that it's yours. It all belongs to you, Father, and that it's not about stuff, but it's understanding wealth as a tool, and that we have a responsibility to use it and to use it wisely like any other tool. So we thank you, Father, for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the amazing family that exists at CIU. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.